the law of blessings. That hymn we sang at the beginning, I think I'm very thankful that we sing all the verses. I like always sing all the verses of the hymns because they are kind of the whole expression of what we sing. It's not just a melody, but in way we think about the words. And usually hymns are usually said that they are the whole thing. So I think we should sing all of them. And once I was singing this hymn today, I was thinking, you know, that should be the longest hymn in our hymn book. Because there are so many blessings we are receiving each day. And I remember in the talk with some brethren, they were telling the story that, you know, we are driving to convention or somewhere, you know, and then are we there yet? And it's getting bored. So why don't we start counting blessings? And sure enough, they run out of time as they arrive, counting the blessings. So that's something which we are longing for, and we should look for it. And as it says in our hymn, we should name them one by one. And once at the end of the day or so, we should think what we received from the Lord to that we got it, that we got that blessings. What was it? Not, oh yes, thank you, Lord, for all the blessings we received this day. Yes, but what were they? We name them, and they are way more powerful for us. And we'll see how God is blessing us, how Lord is blessing us, how He is saving us. Sometimes it seems painful, but then we realize that was something which saved us from something worse. So that's about a little introduction to remember to count the blessings we receive and name them in our prayers and so on. Remember, brethren, sometimes there are discourses when brethren are starting, you know, I have 7 points to cover, but I really always running out of time, and I just cover 4 or 5 of them, the best or so. We'll try to cover 8 today. So without further prolonged comments, let's move on. And as you know, the subject is very well known. It's about 8 or 9, depends how you classify them. The blessings which are given straight from our Lord, and He said, "Who will receive them?" We are longing for blessings. We all would like to be blessed, especially blessed by our Lord, by God. And how to achieve that? And we remember how it was not just the New Testament where people were longing for being blessed. People would like to do good things in the past too. Well, we'll look at the Abraham. He had the law in his heart. He did not need anything written. He was a friend of God, a very, very meek person. Moses, those people were so close to the God that they didn't need that written law. But then later on, Israel needed that, and they got the law in 10 commandments, and they got it through Moses. And we are also as those who would like to follow the Lord would like to have some guidance to be blessed, to get those blessings which are mentioned by our Lord. And just, you know, for those who would like to take notes, we will be focusing on the Matthew 5 chapter from 2nd to 12th verse. We'll not read them for sake of time right now, but we'll go through them. So why people were following Jesus? Why do we follow Jesus? Well, we remember from many prophecies and many stories from the New Testament that once He was talking, many people were just following Him because He was feeding them. He was healing them and telling them about the kingdom. In Matthew 5:1, we read, "And seeing the multitudes, He went up to the mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. when Jesus saw the crowd of people, then he went to the mountain and he was teaching those who wanted to listen to him, to know his plan and his intentions. And we read in Matthew 5:17, "Think not that I come to destroy the law or prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And he will not destroy them. He obey the God's law and show the spirit of that law, the depth and meaning, and that he will be become a sin offering for those. What is the meaning of being blessed? It expressed prolonged happiness and satisfaction and harmony with God. That's the state of our life of heart where we are feeling very good and happy and satisfied because we are in harmony with God, who is good. We read about Mary in Luke 1:28. "And the angel came into her and said, 'Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women.'" Those blessings are rooted in our hearts to direct them and to keep us in love of God. Because of this, our hearts are in peace, who bring relief and rest in difficult times and difficulties we are going through life. So we'll talk about those beatitudes or blessings, which are teaching us what we need to do to achieve them. This is that law. If you do this, then something else will be happening, or something else will result in that. And in Matthew 5:2-3, we read, "And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are poor in spirit, for there is kingdom of heaven.'" What is the meaning of being poor in spirit? Usually, you know, being poor, nobody wants to be poor. What is so important to be poor in spirit? And how can we achieve that? I think this is something which being poor or feeling low is required to get that blessing, is to be somebody who, to be someone who is looking at others as bigger as we are, as somebody is greater. So we are smaller, and I think we can experience that. Everybody can experience that once they are hiking and we have our eyes set on Jesus. We are going up to him uphill. And then we'll see everybody greater than us. And likewise, if we see anybody taller than us, smaller than us, we are seeing ourselves taller, then we'll see that we are going downhill. Because they are down, they are smaller, and that's why we know that we are seeing ourselves as better. And this condition is needed to be a teachable. We have to be humble and teachable in order to receive that blessings. And that condition can save us from wrong direction in our lives. In James 4:6 we read, "But he gives more grace. Wherefore he said, 'God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.'" And humbleness, that's what we are looking for. So we should look at ourselves and make sure that all pride will be rooted out from us. If you are looking small in our own eyes, God can use us then without damage to ourselves. He will not put certain blessings or certain things to our hearts or certain work if we will start looking at ourselves as we achieved something or we are proud, because that will cause the damage to our character. So the difficulties we are shown or disadvantages of our position of the spirit. If we cannot see this, our spiritual fruit cannot be developed. Sometimes we don't know what to do and how to behave. Then we can read in Luke 9:40, "And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not." This is something which a story of once disciples were trying to cast the bad spirit, and they couldn't do it. And I think that was something that they want to do it themselves, not showing the Lord. They were not ready for that. They needed the help from our Lord. A second blessings from Matthew 5:4. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Sadness with meaning of that leads to repentance and assessing our own desires, which leads to zeal to serve the Lord. We have either sadness or sorrows, either godly or sorrow of the world. Let's read 2 Corinthians 7, chapter 9 to 11. "Now I rejoice, not we were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye may receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrow after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought you in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this manner." Sadness in this case, that the feeling which makes you think and analyze your doings and leads to gladness. And we are getting comfort through the different God's tools, brethren, and we are used as tools to comfort others. The sadness which we will think about and we'll examine ourselves will lead us to repair whatever is needed to be repaired. 2 Corinthians 7:6 we read, "Nevertheless God that comfort those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus." And only when our broken heart is ready to get comfort, as we remember the Pharaoh, was not ready in his stone heart as God was comforting him, but withdrawing the plagues. As soon as the plagues were removed, he did not learn from the time of sadness. He did not remember that. But as we read before, the comfort may come also through our other brethren. Israel, did they analyze their behavior as well, or they were only unhappy? Numbers 14:39, "And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And because they mourned, without thinking or analyzing, they were punished for 40 years wandering on the wilderness. The rich young man was sad once he was talking to our Lord. He was sad because he was not able to sacrifice his present life. He didn't learn from the words of our Lord, or did not want to do this, what Jesus suggested. He was sad with no analyzing the causes of his sadness. In Mark 10:21 and Mark 10:22, these are the verses about that story with the young man. Matthew 5:5. Third blessing, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Sadness leads to meekness, and why is so important that the meek inherit the earth? Because people poor in the spirit, humble, are also meek, as Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Jesus was meek, but he gladly answered all the questions. If somebody was coming to him, he was not hiding in the low spirit. He was answering them and was talking to them. When he was young, he was traveling with his parents and he got lost. And they found him when he was talking with the teachers in the temple. To be meek doesn't mean to be quiet, speaking a little. It's the one who can listen others, is prepared in the subject, and it's not imposes its own understanding because he knows that he is still learning. Abraham was a very good example of the very meek person. He got the promise of inherit the earth and multiply his generations. Once he was dealing with Lot, they got into the problem together. We read that in Genesis 13:8-9. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me, if thou wilt take the left hand, I will go right. If thou wilt depart to the right, I will go to the left. Isn't that great example to follow? How we supposed to sometimes give away to others. And once we remember, he did not get mad at Lot. They didn't stop talk to each other. He truly mean to give the choice to his brother. All meek people can develop under Abraham's covenant, and their hunger for righteousness, which lead us to the next blessing from Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What is righteousness? What is to be righteous? In Psalm 97:2, we read, clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgments are the habitation of his throne. Are we really hungry for that righteousness? For the truth? For the righteousness, not just for food. We all know that we cannot feed somebody who is not hungry. That's why we need to develop that hunger for righteousness. We need our daily bread from him, bread from heaven, which is never got old, which is not deteriorating. And we use our daily bread to feed our heart. Where are we getting this bread from? The daily news, computers, cell phones, or others which are manipulating the information to get the profit or something like that? I think we should be hungry for that righteousness from above. We are looking for real food, real bread, and real water. God gave us his food by his words. And Jesus said, Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In those scriptures, Apostle Paul is talking to us about God's plan, righteousness for everybody to be resurrected and ransomed for all. That God sent his son to redeem from sin and death everybody. It's a wonderful plan. Satan did not think about people when he deceived angels to come down on earth and marry women and have children. We don't know if they will be living by everlasting life, but we know that that was something which was not righteous. Righteousness teaches us how to live. In Psalm 85:13, we read, righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Fifth blessings is in Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What is the mercy? Mercy and truth are two great principles of justice. It can be said that truth and justice are clear. Wherever it is true, and what is true, the solid, faithful, unstable, real, is usually just. In Proverbs 3:3, we read, let no mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thy heart. Why does God require mercy? Whoever maintains the principles of truth and justice in front of his mind will be an honest man, with truth, purity, and goodness as the controlling authority. Micah 6:8, we read, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. God is full of mercy, kindness, and love. Therefore, having these characters, God created man as his image and likeness, created him with these qualities. Man was not created an unjust and perverse creature. And mercy goes together with love of the law. Psalm 119:165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. With forgiveness, as Jesus said, Matthew 18:35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. And reconciliation, Psalm 33:5. He loved righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. So we can see how important those qualities of the heart are. Sixth blessing is Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Psalm 22:26. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. So, why just heart? What is the heart? It's an organ working all our life. and affects good functioning of any other organ. But we can see that man choose and God choose the heart as a symbol and residence of our feelings and mind. What do we find in our hearts, and why it is so important to have the pure heart? Are we examining our hearts? Are we examining our feelings? God also has a heart. Genesis 6:6 we read, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man of the earth, and he grieved him at his heart." Faith, we are building our faith in our heart as a new creation in 2 Corinthians 1:21, 22. "Now, he which established us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who had also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." Memory, another quality of the heart. Mary was thinking and meditating in her heart. Luke 2:19. "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." So we can see that this is something which is very deep, and we are always honest with our heart. And also, there is mind and understanding. Once we'll look at Solomon and David in 1 Kings 3:12. "Behold, I have done according to thy words. I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." You remember how it was great request from Solomon to get this kind of heart. Wise and understanding heart. Psalm 119:34, it says, Give me understanding, and I'll keep thy law. I shall observe it with my whole heart." And the law, keeping in our hearts. As David says in Psalm 37:1, "The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide." Proverbs 3:5. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean unto thine own understanding, and not unto thine own understanding." So we need to protect our heart, and then what should we do? Because that's our life. In Proverbs 4:23, one of the advices from Solomon, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We should love our God and man. We should purify our heart. Psalm 51:10. These words are very known to brethren. "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit with me." 1 Timothy 1:5. "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a God, a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned." This is something which we will have a pure heart. From that heart will be flowing all those things, all the pure things, and we'll be receiving the required blessings. Seventh blessing is Matthew 5:9. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And who of us would not like to be called a child of God? Who does not like to call the Creator the most powerful existence in the universe, our Father. We are longing for that blessing. But what does it mean to have peace? John 14:27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What a beautiful words. That peace received from him, which passes all understanding. That's something we should be in our hearts, and we should also make sure that we are those who are those peacemakers. Peace we can feel in our hearts, and it is the connection with God through faith and trust. We should look inside our hearts to find that peace, joy, gladness, and share it with God. And because he is an author, he is not author as confusion, but of peace, in 1 Corinthians 14:33. Jesus Christ as the prophecy. In Isaiah, very known scriptures, 9:6, we read, "For a child will be born to us, son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." And the covenant of peace will be given to us. Isaiah 54:10, we read, "For the mountains may be removed, and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." We can lose the peace by not making it to others, not sharing it, and not being a peacemaker. But we also can give the peace to others. We read in Luke 10:5 the greetings which brethren often are using. "And into whosoever house you enter, first say, 'Hi, how are you?'" No. It says, "And into whosoever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be unto you.'" Peace be unto this house. Let's share this peace, brethren. And let's think, after the meeting, if after meeting with me, the brethren came out from the meeting, from our conversation, with peace, or with tears in their eyes? Is it something they will say, "It was so good, talk to that brother"? Or they will say, "I don't know, how can I finish off the day because the peace in my heart was destroyed"? Let's be those peacemakers, and let's put that peace around us. The time is up, but we actually arrived to the 8 blessings. Matthew 5:10, or maybe even 9 blessings, and 11. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is kingdom of heaven." Another one, "Blessed are ye when shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner evil against you falsely for my sake." And we know, I'll just give, for those who are taking notes, a few scriptures to follow that. Blessings, 1 Peter 4:16. It's talking about suffering as Christians. 1 Peter 2:23, about judging righteously. And Romans 8:18. Suffering not because of our wrongdoings, it's suffering as a new creation in the name of our Lord. And that teaches us to solve problems, develop our characters, resulting in things like humbleness, giving strength to deal with many difficult situations and giving more empathy and love to others. The Psalm 52:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Let's, brethren, acquire those teachings from the Lord, and we should watch them growing in our hearts. Each subsequent blessings and video that connects with another and leads to our inward reward and leads to eternal life. Let's work on those blessings. Let's read them and let's count our blessings one by one, because we need to name them and to see that Lord is blessing us each day. But we need to develop those qualities to receive those blessings, and we need to follow that law of blessings to receive them. And the biggest blessings would be to see Lord eye to eye, which I wish all of you, and may the Lord add his blessings.